This is DW News, and these are our top stories. Hungary's controversial LGBTQ law has dominated the first day of an EU summit. More than half of the bloc's leaders have condemned the legislation, calling it discrimination that runs against EU values. Hungary's prime minister says he has no intention of changing the law, which bans gay people featuring in educational content for children. Video blogger and leading opposition figure Siarhei Tikhanovsky is one of six dissidents on trial in Belarus on various charges, including inciting social hatred and organizing mass disorder. Tikhanovsky was arrested last year after expressing his willingness to challenge Alexander Lukashenko in last year's disputed presidential election. Rescue teams are searching for close to 100 people who are believed to be trapped under the rubble of a 12-story apartment building that collapsed near Miami, Florida. At least one resident was killed and several others injured. Many more are feared dead. Rescue crews are searching the rubble for survivors. This is DW News from Berlin. There is more on our website, dw.com.
Today may go down in history as the official start to the end of the Angela Merkel era. The German chancellor was in Brussels for what will most likely be her very last European Union summit. After 16 years in power, Merkel is stepping down this coming September. The physicist turned politician will soon rank as one of Europe's most respected stateswomen. Now, today, the Dutch prime minister praised Merkel, saying, "When she speaks, everyone listens," and also puts down their iPhones. Merkel reminded her colleagues that when she came to power, no one had even heard of an iPhone. I'm Brent Goff in Berlin. This is The Day.
It's hard to believe, but when I became chancellor, the iPhone hadn't been invented. We're happy to be starting this summit. I think this summit will send important signals for the financial crisis. We will have tough talks today. Europe can't say we can't handle this. That's why I always say we can do this. I appreciate you always playing by the rules.
Dankeschön.
Also coming up, shocking testimony from Britney Spears, the pop star telling a California judge how her father and others used her court-ordered conservatorship to abuse her. Britney's fans are livid.
For her to say that she was forced onto medications against her will, that she's forced onto birth control, and she wanted to have a baby, and her conservators were not allow her to remove the birth control to have her own child, that is insanity. We didn't even know it went this deep. As fans, we knew something was unusual, but this is next level.
Well, to our viewers on PBS in the United States and to all of you around the world, welcome. We begin the day with a warning from the German chancellor as her time in power begins approaching its end. Today, Angela Merkel addressed the German parliament and said that Germany, as well as all of Europe, are on thin ice in their battle against the coronavirus, especially now that the Delta variant is expected to be responsible for almost all cases in the European Union by August. Merkel is urging Germany and all EU countries to adopt a common policy on quarantining people arriving from high-risk areas. Merkel delivered today what may very well be her last speech to Parliament as head of government. After 16 years as German chancellor, Merkel plans to step down in September when the country holds its next general election. But Berlin was not the only city to see a final Merkel moment today. She was also in Brussels for what is also likely to be her final European Union summit. She's attended dozens over the years, the EU summits and the world. Well, they've changed dramatically since Merkel first became German chancellor in 2005. We take a look back at a leader named Merkel and the summits that she attended, ascended, and even mastered.
This is how it all began. Winter 2005. newly elected Chancellor Angela Merkel arriving at her first European summit in Brussels.
We are happy to be starting this European summit, and we will do everything to get the best results. Whether there will be an agreement, we cannot tell today.
This became her Brussels motto for the next 16 years, more often than not, navigating the disaster of the day. First to hit the 2008 financial crisis. What started out in New York was soon tearing through Europe's economies.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are meeting at the right moment for the summit because I think it will send important signals for the financial crisis.
Easier said than done. Some thought the chancellor was out of her depth. But when in 2014 Russian tanks started rolling in Crimea and eastern Ukraine, Angela Merkel showed her mettle, brokering a ceasefire.
I have already in Minsk communicated the results. This is a glimmer of hope, no more and no less.
Meanwhile, Greeks were taking to the streets, fearing their country's economic collapse.
We will have tough talks today, and there will be no agreement at any price. I know, nerves are stretched.
All-night negotiations brought success. Greece was kept in the Eurozone. But the 2015 refugee crisis on Europe's borders saw EU solidarity splinter. In Brussels, the Chancellor had a clear message.
In the face of a great challenge, it cannot happen that Europe says we cannot handle this. That would be wrong. That's why I always say we can manage that.
There were other battles. Brexit, budgets, personnel, the tedium sometimes overwhelming. And lots of diplomatic greetings and kisses to endure, more or less welcome. Until the horrors of the COVID-19 crisis separated leaders for the first time. Merkel's last big fight was brokering a deal on the bloc's enormous recovery fund.
Today we are entering the third day of negotiations, and it will be decisive. But we could also not reach an agreement today.
When the deal finally came, Angela Merkel must have felt her work here was done. This pre-pandemic family photo may remind her of happier times. Leaders are likely to feel quite lost without her, as the Chancellor gets ready to take her last steps, leaving the European stage.
Joining me now is a woman who burned the midnight oil many a night, covering Merkel and all of those many EU summits. Barbara Wesel joins me from Brussels. Good evening to you, Barbara. That was an excellent story, by the way. It almost makes you emotional, you know, when you look back on everything that has happened. When you look back on those 16 years with Merkel as German chancellor and her making her mark on the EU, what stands out to you?
What really stands out, I think, Brent, is this enormous development she has made. When she came into office and she appeared in Brussels, you know, fresh-faced and bouncy as we saw her in that very first picture there, everybody said, you know, Kohl's Mädchen, Kohl's girl, she can't do this. Plus, she's not really a good European. She comes from the East. She doesn't know anything about it. And she has no visions. And then certainly she didn't have visions, but she had something else. She developed incredible stamina to keep this European Union together. And it was somehow like a good shepherd will keep the herd together. That really seemed to have been her main goal throughout all these years. And she also became the European Union's foremost crisis manager. We've seen a few of these crises. I mean, it really came hard and fast. And sometimes you felt that hardly had you stumbled out of one and somehow cobbled together a compromise, then the union was falling into the next disaster. Long, long nights and long days. And she, I counted the summits and I came up to 100 that she spent in Europe. Wow. That is a lot of time in a life.
You know, as you say, she was tough on Greece during the euro crisis. Many would say she was too tough. She was firm but fair with the UK during Brexit talks. And many have not forgiven her for allowing 1 million migrants to enter Germany back in 2015. If you take her out of the equation for the past 16 years, Barbara, what kind of European Union would we have today?
Quite a different one, because she really became the center of gravity in the EU. And as I said, she kept things together. So rather likely, Greece really would have been catapulted out of the eurozone. Brexit might have become much more fractious. All these diplomatic successes that she had that were often not really so much accredited to her, because there was a lot of work behind the scenes going on. They probably wouldn't have happened. The whole thing might have even been blown apart in the meantime. Mm. So it would have been a very different union. So she was really instrumental. She was sort of the center of gravity for 16 years, and that means something.
And Barbara, who will be glad to see Angela Merkel go?
Maybe some of the Eastern Europeans, because she really had become the embodiment of liberal Western democracy. She stood up to Donald Trump, and many admired her for it, and others thought that, we shouldn't. We should sort of be the friend of the United States, whatever was happening on the other side of the Atlantic. Maybe some smaller countries who were always envious of her successes and her influence and her political weight, but that, of course, has to do with Germany being the biggest country in the EU. But in the end, I think she will be more missed than anything else. There will be nobody who's really going getting ready to throw stones after her.
You know, today she said that Europe should pursue its own dialogue with Russia, and that it's not enough to rely on the U.S. to talk with the Kremlin. Merkel has been called the Putin whisperer. When she is no longer there, who in Europe will have Vladimir Putin's ear?
Nobody, more or less. The French president, of course, is trying to take over this role, but he comes from a completely different background. She understood Putin. She knew what a secret service man was in the old Eastern Europe. She knows where he came from, and she knows how he functions, how his mind works. And still, she thought it was possible to do business with him, and the ties of the German economy to Putin are really, and to Russia are really tight. Mm. So that will probably change. After she's gone, we will have completely different parameters.
Do you think, Barbara, that leaders across the European Union, do you think they've really accepted the fact that in just a few months, this anchor of stability, the marathon Merkel, will no longer be there?
I'll tell you a secret. We called the organizers of the summits and the diplomats behind the scenes and asked them, in fact, would you tell us what you are planning for Angela Merkel's last summit? And they were flabbergasted. There was a pause. And then they said, this cannot be her last summit. It's not possible. She's going to come back. And we said, no, for sure. This is going to be her last regular summit as a chancellor. And then there was a very long silence on the other side of the phone. So I'll never say who we talked to.
But that is proof, Barbara. You found out. They are just not ready for the inevitable. Barbara Vasa tonight.
Absolutely not.
Wow. What a story. Barbara, as always, we appreciate your insights. Thank you. Is this the new normal in Hong Kong? Today, its biggest and most outspoken pro-democracy newspaper, the Apple Daily, shut down. The owners say they were forced to stop publishing after authorities used Beijing's new national security law to seize the paper's assets and arrest several of its editors.
Not a normal way to end the workday, but these journalists wave to a crowd of people who chant, "Keep fighting." They've just sent the last ever edition of the popular Apple Daily to print after the media outlet was forced to close down. What followed was long lines of people, eager to snap up a copy of the last edition. Inside, it says the paper has been a victim of tyranny. I know that today will be the last.